Wanting to avenge the hundreds of years when Romania was just a puppet in the hands of great empires, Ceausescu was laying the first foundations of a national communist dictatorship, which had a sole purpose: to reinvent his country and its people. The experiment had actually begun in 1966, when, out of the blue, Ceausescu issued the Decree 770, forbidding abortion. Overnight, maternity became a state affair. A woman had the legal right to have an abortion only if she was over 40 or if she was taking care of another four children. The society was one of the most liberal in Eastern Europe. But unofficially, along with the ban of abortions, Ceausescu put a legal end to all means of contraception. So women in Romania had no escape. They were forced to become mothers. The silent war between them and Ceausescu began.
So formally, contraception was practically banned. There was no law against contraception, but contraception became a political taboo in a way. And they injected in the uterus a lot of bizarre things, from mustard, tea, antibiotics, you name it. I remember I found pieces of plants which were said by the Romanian folklore that they have some kind of abortigen properties.
Those who couldn't force a spontaneous abortion resorted to illegal pregnancy interruptions, which were performed behind closed doors by doctors, but also by amateurs, who saw in this a good source of money. Zina Dumitrescu was a well-known fashion model in Romania in the 70s. As abortions were illegal in hospitals, after she became pregnant, she turned to a doctor who performed the operation on her kitchen table.
We knew a kind of serial killer came in town because we had 3 deaths in a week or 15 bad, horrible cases, and we were happy when he was caught.
For state reasons, authorities hid from the eyes of public opinion all negative effects of banning abortion. In an allegedly liberal society, nobody mentioned a word about the women who died as a result of illegal abortions carried out by people without any medical training. A real drama was unfolding behind closed doors. By 1969, 2.5 years after banning abortions, Ceausescu had managed to double the birth rate in Romania and to produce the first million babies above their natural birth rate. Beginning with 1973, however, women's reluctancy to give birth to an unwanted child threatened the plans of the authorities in Bucharest. For the first time since the ban of abortion, the birth rate was beginning to drop. The Romanian baby boom was in danger, so Ceausescu ordered the militia and the prosecutors to take up position in hospitals.
They didn't talk about themselves because they knew this place is highly surveilled by the police. And even the police officer was not there. His shadow and his presence was always among us. As far as I know, any hospital had a police officer in charge with the hospital, and he was the master of the game. He was running the show.
Doctors were no longer allowed to intervene. They could perform an emergency abortion only if a prosecutor or a militiaman approved. Often, the latter would witness the operation to be sure that the doctor was entitled to act.
At times, when we did a curettage, I could feel his breath in my back, watching what I take out from the women's uterus, what I put in that bottle, and what I sent to pathology. So that was really scary and unbearable.
In most cases, the abortions made without proper skills or the correct instruments led to serious infections. Even when these women were brought to hospital, the consequences were often fatal.
The septic ward in our hospital was the place where you could see every week somebody dying, or if not dying, every week a tragedy happening to a young woman who left the hospital without uterus, without ovaries, at menopause at 18 or 20 something, or women who with no chance to have children anymore. I remember some of these women before they died, and they didn't die easily. Took days and days, so they were conscious until they died, and they realized they would die.
Ceaușescu was already a key figure, but a clear sign that things were not going in the right direction was the decision to close down the borders for Romanians wanting to travel abroad. Ceaușescu's dreams about his Romania were crumbling under a huge pile of economic problems. The life of the average Romanian was a nightmare, but nobody had the courage to speak out. The living standard was in free fall, and as a consequence, the willingness to have a baby in Romanian families was lower than ever. Ceaușescu imposed new barriers. The committees entitled to assess abortion requests had to prohibit any such attempts by women less than 45 or with less than 5 children. Counseled by prominent doctors, Ceaușescu decided to impose gynecological tests. The purpose was to discover early pregnancies and to monitor the women until birth. The child production became a criterion of evaluation for doctors, party chiefs, militiamen, and even for the engineers and supervisors in factories where many women were employed.
In a factory, the women, they were caught. And they had no escape. Women during those times, they didn't like to go to the doctor for that reason. But in a factory, they could be forced to do it. In 2 hours, and again, I'm not proud of my performance. I have seen between 40 and 50, 60 women. 4 of the women came in the room. They were very organized, extremely organized. They got undressed in the back. They were given no gowns. They came completely naked in front of me, going in 2 tables. It was like a grotesque ballet. And what was important for the authorities, their last menstruation, this was an obsession for them. Communist Party, the last period of the women. And if I found that one of them is pregnant and has the uterus enlarged, I have to document that.
Ceaușescu decided to pay all the external debts Romania had. All imports were stopped, including medicines and reagents for hospital labs. To perform a pregnancy test, hospitals had to use the male frog procedure, Gallimanini, something that had been discovered and used in the 19th century. Male frogs had a specific reaction when in contact with the urine of pregnant women.
It's proven it's a good test, but it takes a lot, and those frogs were completely exhausted at some point. So this was really cynical and ridiculous. We relied on the frogs to tell us who's pregnant and who is not.
The prosecutors used this proof in court against women who'd had an abortion. But as a consequence of a new law, the hospitals weren't allowed to use external suppliers, so they didn't have any frogs left for the pregnancy test. Thousands of women could narrowly escape convictions because there was no way to prove their guilt.
Well, everything disappeared from Romania at that time, including the frogs. I don't know where they went, but we knew they were somewhere around, but nobody was there to deliver the frogs because the system was completely stuck.
The birth rate was rising again in a country where you couldn't find basic food and where people would queue for up to 10 hours to buy milk. But the days of Ceaușescu were numbered. Neither the West nor the East wanted to have anything to do with him anymore. The enfant terrible from behind the Iron Curtain in the 60s became nothing more than an old dogmatic communist. Everybody wanted to be rid of him.
The West,
de asemenea, considerând aceasta ca o...
Long before the 1989 uprising, a Romanian documentary director had tried to suggest in a film about a modern turkey farm the tragedy behind the process of selecting the new man. The extermination of those born with deficiencies.
De unde venim și încotro ne îndreptăm. În momentul în care vom ști de unde venim și cu o foarte mare precizie, vom ști și încotro ne îndreptăm.
The truth was to come out only 3 months after the fall of the communist regime, in March 1990, when a German TV crew discovered in the forest of Chigid one of the most disturbing places found in post-World War Europe.
În 3-4 erau și 25 de copii.
The vast majority of Romanians didn't know about the existence of such extermination centers as Chigid and 10 other nursery hospitals for disabled children. In this pediatric hospital, the mortality rate was the highest in Europe, around 50%. Only in 1988, 62 children died here, most of them children of the decree. They were born to heroin mothers, women who lived in the countryside and who had up to 9 or 10 children. They were sent here after various medical examination boards labeled them irrecoverable. For all, Chigid was their final destination. None of them was allowed back to hospitals, not even if their health condition was dramatic. What was left for all of them was a slow death, without warmth, without food, and without any affection.